Good evening and welcome to Behind the Headlines on Unity FM 93.5 on the 25th of the 1st, 2011. Joining us on the lines is Steve Jolly, who's our guest for the beginning of the show. And as always, you know, we are doing a review of current affairs, news of the week, some sports, and many other things as well. And there's been many, many things that have been happening through the week. It's been a busy week in terms of news. I think one of the things, if I can bring in Steve here, that's really been hitting news a lot lately is the likes of people like Mark Kennedy and people within the police who have actually been employed to go within environmentalists, various political activists, acting as spies and agents provocateurs. And I believe Steve has quite a bit to say on this.
Hi, Tarek. Thanks for having me on, Steve. Yeah, well, it's been in the news quite a bit lately. Came to my attention back in the spring and summer in connection with the Birmingham spy cameras because it was ACPO who was behind that operation. ACPO is the Association of Chief Police Officers. And it's a very shadowy and secretive organisation that has a huge amount of power. And it stands for the Association of Chief Police Officers, and it sounds like a sort of an officers' club or a union or an association, you know, a professional body. But what it really is, it's the organisation that devises and designs our police policy and new types of policing, whether it be AMPR cameras or spy drones or undercover operations. It's got a lot of power, but it doesn't seem accountable to anybody. It's not a government department. I mean, apart from the odd select committee, it's not really accountable to anybody. And it's like a sort of almost national or federal police force that deals with matters like terrorism and the more sort of political type of area. And it, you know, it's been described as the political wing of the police. And it seems to be getting up to all sorts of things that are now bringing it into the public domain to people's attentions, and not in a good way. I mean, you mentioned Mark Kennedy, is it, the spy that was sort of embedded with the environmental protesters for years?
Yes, that's right.
At a cost of, I don't know, £250,000 a year. Essentially to hang out with and spy on and report back on a bunch of people who had committed no crimes and weren't planning to either. They were just environmental activists and protesters.
Well, he was, in effect, an agent provocateur. Basically, he was actually instigating people to do things. He actually he instigated them to break into a nuclear plant.
Yeah. I mean, this is... We're hearing more and more of this. We're hearing that the FBI in the States are arresting people and saying that they foiled a terror plot. I mean, it turns out that the poor patsies were recruited and groomed and put up to it by these FBI agents themselves, and in fact they had never done anything illegal or even planned to until the FBI came along and persuaded them to get involved and provided them with the means and the materials. It's either entrapment or, as you say, agent provocateuring. And, you know, for these police agencies to sort of in effect create crimes that they can then go and stop it, it seems unbelievable. You know, they're meant to be about detecting crime and bringing criminals to justice. They're not meant to be going around creating crime.
Indeed, yes, absolutely. So how do you feel about it all, Steve? I mean, do you think that, you know, it's, you know, the police should be doing things like this? I mean, is it really reasonable that they should be going and spying on people and getting involved in activist groups like this, and essentially why would they want to do it?
Because they've got too much power, I think that's it. Often these things are done because they can, not because there's a threat or a need to do them. I mean, just there have been some articles recently, and Shami Chakrabarty, the director of Liberty, has called for a fundamental review of ACPO, saying that its functions and its powers need to be determined by Parliament. Because it advises government, it sets policies, it campaigns all the time for more and more police powers. Recently, the other week, it came out that they were making a fortune from selling criminal records checks. Because if you want to do a CRB check on an employee, potential employee, you have to pay a fee. And ACPO made £18 million last year from charging for criminal records checks on people.
That's incredible.
This ACPO just seems to have a total lack of accountability and transparency. It's a limited company, and it used to be immune from freedom of information requests. I don't know whether it still is. It's basically a secretive private organisation that's not accountable to Parliament, and they have a lot of power, and we're not really sure who's in charge of them.
Well, it's certainly a very intriguing thing indeed, and I think we're going to see more and more of this coming out in the weeks to come. It certainly was a shock to see the BBC, of all organisations, to be actually headlining people like Mark Kennedy, and to see in the front pages of the BBC website.
Well, there's more and more of it coming out. Annie Machon, who's a former MI5 intelligence officer, has written about it in today's Guardian, saying that this whole undercover spying thing is out of control. You know, they've got the counter-terrorism police, and they've got the undercover cops infiltrating what they consider domestic extremists. And there's no legal definition of what is a domestic extremist. It's not, it's not a type of criminal. It's not a type of crime they're talking about. They're really talking about anyone who protests or challenges government policy. So ACPO is saying, well, we must get in there and spy on them all. But the reason we don't have a national police force is that we weren't meant to have an agency that had that much centralised power. We have regional police forces by county. We have West Midlands
yes.
Police Force, Nottinghamshire Police Force, and so on. But what ACPO is doing is it's becoming a national police force that's in charge of all the regional police forces. So it's not just a coordinating body that aims to sort of, make sure that they're all, carrying on with best practice. It's a very powerful organisation. It's becoming like a federal police force. And a lot of stuff that they're involved in doesn't seem to be actual crime. It's almost like another arm of the intelligence services.
Now, speaking of, very powerful people who have a lot of impunity, that takes us to actually Tony Blair, who recently has been reported in the Daily Mail as he's calling for Britain and the US to launch an attack on Iran.
I know. You couldn't make it up. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I was under the impression that he had been appointed Middle East peace envoy.
That's right, yes.
Is he still in that role?
I don't think so anymore.
But he's also a consultant to oil companies or the oil industry.
That's right, yes.
And he's made a lot of money from that. Now, anyone would say, is there a potential conflict of interest there? He's advising oil company interests, and he's also supposed to be responsible for, helping the region move towards peace. But at the same time, he wants to wage war on Iran. he insists that it's a dangerous country with a dangerous dictator who's intent on developing dangerous weapons, and therefore we've got to go in there, disarm him, regime change. The accusations that he's making seem all too familiar. Weapons of mass destruction, links to terrorism, this sort of thing.
Well, I should imagine there'll be some tenuous links here, of course, that'll be provided as evidence as well to pacify the public.
Well, it's incredible that while he's actually attending the Chilcot inquiry, he's being questioned about potential war crimes relating to the legality of the invasion of Iraq. While he's there to answer questions about one illegal war, he's recommending that we go and start another one. I don't see any reason, any justification, why any country should attack Iran. America says, well, we think that they want nuclear weapons. Therefore, we should go and invade the country. There's lots of countries that do have nuclear weapons. I think Israel's got about 240 of them. And unlike Iran, Israel has not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Yes, sadly, it's a real shame.
And to my knowledge, Iran isn't in contravention of any UN resolutions. It hasn't contravened the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It doesn't appear to have any... there doesn't seem to be any justification for somebody calling for an attack.
No.
but there's obviously an agenda there, and Iran is part of it. Can you speculate as to what it's really about?
Well, there's a number of things that people say. One thing, of course, is that large resources of untapped oil will be a possibility. Just the fact that, you know, there's this continuous need for wars, basically, that needs to be bankrolled. And, of course, the huge contracts that could be made by companies like Halliburton, who've made a fortune out of the devastating war in Iraq from 2003. And there's a lot of documentaries that you can actually go and find on YouTube. It shows you how these people have actually squandered billions of US dollars on trucks, which have left in the middle of the desert.
Well, that's it. Halliburton and other contractors had this contract, which this type of commercial contract, which you just don't get because it's a really bad deal. It's something like cost plus 10 or cost plus 20, which means whatever their costs are, they'll just add on a percentage for their profit.
Yes.
So that means they don't have to quote a price. They just have to say, well, it costs whatever it costs, and then we'll add some profit on the top. So they've got no incentive for providing any sort of value in terms of equipment or services or whatever what they're charging for. And this is why you get stories about, you know, receipts for sort of $5,000 toilet seats and, you know, trucks just being, instead of changing, putting a new spark plug in, just trash the whole vehicle, buy another one, we can bill for it. And war has got to be the most expensive thing that a country can do. But ironically, because it's so expensive, it's the most profitable thing in the world because someone's receiving that money. The money's being spent, you know, on arms and equipment. And so that money's going somewhere. So it's at once, it's both the most expensive thing that a nation can do, but also thing. War is a racket.
Absolutely. In the words of Smedley Butler, of course, we've played that before here on our show as well. War is indeed a racket, and it's a racket which can bring about all sorts of very unpleasant forms of new technology. One of those things, of course, which has been in the news for a number of years now, is drone planes. Now, you'll have heard of drone planes being used in places like Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. You've probably heard of recently about the whole very, very saddening issue of basically the Israeli Defense Force having a computer game-like control system for drones as well, where they could basically, from a computer with a joystick, they could actually use drones and pinpoint certain areas and just bomb them, basically. And well, you wouldn't expect it, would you, that these sort of things could actually appear in Western countries, but...
But according this issue of attack, if I may come in,
yes,
with a drone and the joystick-like thing, it's not only actually used for drone planes, it's actually also can be used in tanks, and troops can actually stay away from the location to actually bring down a target, because it will actually show the whole area where they want to target, and they could actually have weapons that control the missile batteries or the anti-aircraft guns. And
indeed,
they don't even have to have man brought down, you know. So if you look at it in that sense, with the new weapon that the Israelis have developed, with the control pad, it's like virtual reality computer games where they don't have to have troops, or where they can actually command their troops, and they can bring down enemy targets without even having their troops or their equipment destroyed.
Indeed, you've got your drones, and you've also got your military spy planes as well, which again would be used in places like, you know, the Middle East and places like where there's war zones, etc., etc. But could you imagine for a second that military spy planes might be deployed here in the UK?
Well, glad you asked that, Tarek, because this is what I've been reading about. And I've read about it before last year. There were some pieces in The Guardian, a few articles here and there. And there's been a couple of articles in the last few days. Military-style spy planes, the unmanned drones... they've actually been ordered by some of the UK police forces. You know, so this is battlefield technology, really, that's being imported back home for civilian policing of the domestic population. And they may not be equipped with missiles and the like, but they are going to be equipped with essentially high-tech, high-altitude CCTV cameras. And BAE Systems are manufacturing them. And this is seen as a good thing for the police and the councils to use to spy on people for all sorts of reasons, even of the most trivial things. They're talking about parking offences and stuff. I mean, you know, it's as if the domestic population has become the enemy. You know, with the capability that they have now with the military technology, it's, well, how can we use it? Where else can we use it? You know, it's like they're overexcited with these new toys and they can't wait to deploy them. It's a case of, well, we can, so let's do it, rather than, is it a good thing?
Absolutely. Spying is a major, major issue right now in all senses. Of course, you've been part of the campaign for the against the CCTVs in Birmingham, specifically in the areas of Moseley and other parts of Birmingham as well, where there was a huge amount of CCTVs actually put in by the police.
And, yeah, mainly Sparkbrook and Alum Rock, to spy on the Muslim community, and you know, that was what we found to be the truth of it, and that's why they've pledged to take them away, because it was wrong to do so, and also unlawful anyway. But now we won't even need to see the cameras. We won't even be aware of their existence, because they'll be 20,000 feet high. You won't know they're there.
It's incredible. It really is incredible. And it's worrying.
I mean, I was just watching a very, very interesting documentary a few weeks ago with Stephen on Channel 4. And it actually goes back to, I mean, spying has been with these kind of drone planes, or, I mean, before then it was manned, where the Americans actually developed planes that can fly almost near to space altitude. You know, like, and they were actually... it was a documentary actually based on UFOs, but the CIA and the secret services of the US actually you know, enhanced the rumors so they could actually spy on the Russians. And it's like the technologies has been developed and manipulated into these drone planes, and it's, I think it's the result is what we're seeing back home here.
Well, I don't know where the technologies come from or who's developed it. It's that seems to be the apex of technological development. Seems to be the military, doesn't it? You know, it's you know, the most advanced, sophisticated technology seems to be developed for military purposes. You know, for weapons and warfare. It's a shame that's the case. You know, instead of being developed for the good of humanity, it's developed for, you know, death and destruction.
I mean, a few weeks ago, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the reports, but I was browsing through some news articles, and what's frightening actually is they managed now to actually split antimatter from actually matter, although they're claiming it's for to use it as an energy resource. Again, the frightening part of the whole issue is that can actually be developed into a military technology.
Well, you're moving on to stuff that I'm not familiar with there. I don't know much about... I don't know anything about antimatter and what that is really, although it does make me think of the Large Hadron Collider that is buried under the Alps, and what on earth that might be trying to do. That's a mystery as well, but that's something I don't know a great deal about, other than I'm just intrigued as to what on earth it is.
Indeed, absolutely indeed. And there's a lot of things happening as we go forward with our show. We keep flicking through our news articles of the week, and over the past week as well. And
can I just come in at that point and mention there's an event, a weekly event in Birmingham that's been going for a month or so now. For anyone who's interested in the truth behind the headlines and any hidden agendas of things that are really going on that are perhaps denied by governments, or that, you know, what you might call... conspiracy or deception perhaps by the media as to what's really going on. There's a night at the Billsley pub in King's Heath on Brook Lane every Tuesday night at 7:30. It's called Truth Juice Birmingham.
Yes.
I believe there's a network of similar events sort of at different towns and cities around the country, and this is the Birmingham branch, if you like, has just started doing a night for truthers and anyone interested in finding out more about the hidden agendas that are going on. There's a speaker giving talk and presentation, lots of different people on different subjects. We've had people talking about terrorism. I've been to a few of these. They're very interesting. Terrorism, or the banking system, and geopolitics and,
yes.
and secret societies and so on. So if any of your listeners are interested in, you know, the sort of stuff that we're talking about on the show and that you talk about regularly, it might be worth coming along to that event.
Indeed. So basically, if you could give us a full address there and just that time and the date again.
Okay, well, it's every Tuesday night at the new Billsley Pub, which is Brook Lane, King's Heath. That's B13 OAB, 7:30. And there's, you don't, you know, for those that don't drink, you don't have to drink alcohol. There's tea and coffee provided and interesting talks on all manner of subjects.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have to be attending that ourselves in future as well. And I'll encourage our listeners to do come down.
Absolutely.
Because you don't get much in the way of, you know, real media anymore, to be honest. You don't get much in the way of proper news either. And it's very, very important that people stay informed, you know, for their own personal safety, I believe.
Well, the news is so managed that you people just don't know what to believe anymore. They don't believe what they're being told on the news. They don't know where to get other information from. I mean, you can find Truth Juice Birmingham on Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, perhaps look them up and maybe come along to one of the events. But it is difficult because there's so much going on. A lot of people aren't aware of half the things that are going on because the media is keeping a lot of truth from us. And, you know, it's really with the advent of the internet that, you know, the sharing of information seems to have increased exponentially, and people are just sharing stuff so much now that it's almost like information overload, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's too much. It gets confusing. It becomes very, very hard to actually find a good, reliable source of information that you can trust.
There's a lot to take in.
I mean, just we've taken up a lot of your time, Steve. Just briefly, I mean, if we could just discuss. I mean, a lot of people talk about, you know, the different paradigms, if you like, that happens in media, basically the left, the right. And then you have what people call conspiracy theory, which is a whole kind of a separate paradigm in itself, which is usually dismissed, basically, with that very term of being sort of people into grassy knolls and UFOs and the like and things of that.
Well, that's it. The term conspiracy theory is itself, a term of derision. It's a way of dismissing something. If you say, oh, I heard that, it's just a conspiracy theory, though, what you're saying is it's nonsense.
Effectively, yes.
And the implication is that there have never been any conspiracies involving perhaps governments or corporations or on a large scale, you know, deceiving people, and that it never happens, which is quite naive, I think, to believe that, because of course we know, I mean, we're seeing now, this week, we're seeing Tony Blair is before an inquiry trying to get to the truth of, you know, were we misled, was Parliament misled over the reasons for going to a war. Now, everybody knows that we were lied to. The dodgy dossier was sexed up by Alistair Campbell. We were told weapons of mass destruction, links to Al-Qaeda. None of it was true. So we were lied to. So, you know, either that was a conspiracy to deceive people to go to war, or they genuinely believe the information they had at the time, which later turned out not to be true. Now, what do you think?
I tend to believe that, you know, the former rather than the latter, that, you know, it was a conspiracy, it was a lie, and that the evidence is rather clear. I don't think anyone, I mean, if you can go into the broadsheets, etc., most people have conceded the fact that it was a complete and utter lie, and this is one of the greatest travesties in recent history, that we could actually allow a huge invasion of a country which has caused the damage that it has, you know, on all scales. You know, you have children now and are suffering from all sorts of physical defects, from the chemical weapons that have been used, from not just the 2003 invasion, but of course the very first Gulf War as well. You know, a country which is left in tatters economically and in every single way has been completely and utterly destroyed. And it's a worrying trend that, you know, the likes of Blair, the likes of, you know, the US government and the allies that are involved in such things and their armies, etc., could be allowed to go out and cause this damage, this collateral damage on such a huge scale to at the cost of innocent lives.
It's as if there are shadow powers at work, you know, forces behind the governments. You mentioned, you know, the left and the right, the political parties. To me, you know, I've come to the realization or the belief that these are just puppets. You know, we have, you know, we believe we have a democracy here, but really, I think we've got a great illusion of democracy. somebody said if voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal. Because it almost doesn't matter who you vote for, because, you know, you kick out the Tories and you get Labour in, you think things are going to change, and it doesn't. And then when people have had enough of them, they go, right, we've got to get rid of Labour. And they vote someone else in. You know, they vote for the Lib Dems or perhaps back to the Tories, and we've ended up with a coalition, which is, by definition, a government that nobody wants.
That's right.
And for all Nick Clegg's promises of restoring our freedoms and rolling back the surveillance society, he's watering down or doing a U-turn on every single one, one by one. And it really makes you realise that whatever your reasons for voting for a politician or a party, in the end, you won't get what you're hoping for. Because I don't think it really matters who gets into power, because until we realise who really holds the power, then we can start to change it.